We have a number of guests with us today. We're honored by your presence, and we hope that you will give us a chance to greet you and speak to you after we're dismissed. Our prayer, of course, is that God will accept our worship, and we hope that it is also an encouragement to you. If you were wanting to make a donation to help with the tornado relief for the two congregations to help distribute as they see fit in the area of Tennessee east of Nashville, just write your check to Tanner Church of Christ, and on the memo line put tornado relief. That way we keep it separate from the regular contribution. It was announced, of course, that the church will be sending $2,000 from the treasury to those two congregations, $1,000 each, but then whatever you give between this morning and tonight, then we'll be added to that, and we'll get that to them as quickly as possible. I also want to promote this lectureship that's going to be taking place Saturday, March 21st. I know we all have busy Saturday mornings, and we have a lot that we could be doing, but I'm going to tell you, there are a couple of speakers on here that are outstanding speakers, and this is a great subject about securing our souls. And this is a fabulous concept, and going to be a great lectureship at the Cedar Grove congregation out just this side of Rogersville. So if you'd like to go to that, plan to be here at the church building. We're going to leave here by 8:15 on Saturday, March 21st. The van will leave the building at 8:15. That gives us plenty of time to get there and get a good seat, but it's going to be a great lectureship, and I want to encourage as many of you to go as possible. We fill the van up. We'll just convoy. First 15 that get here, though, can ride the van, so don't miss your chance to be a part of this. It's going to be a great lectureship, great day. Well, y'all, it happened again Wednesday night after church. I was on my way back from Atlanta while you guys were having your midweek Bible study. And after most folks had already gone home, Faye was headed for the Highway 31 intersection, and Brittany was right behind her. They pulled up to the light. They were the very first ones in line. Faye was there, and then Brittany behind her, waiting for the light to turn green. And when it did, Faye just sat there. 1 second, 2 seconds. 3 seconds. Brittany later said that she couldn't figure out why her mom wasn't moving. The light's green. You need to go. And she got her phone and actually started to call Faye. And about that time, an 18-wheeler came barreling down 31 and flashed right through the red light. And if Faye had gone when that light turned green, she would most surely have been killed. This is the third time this has happened to Faye in the past few years. Second time at this intersection. One time on her way to work at Piney, up there on Elm Street at the red light there. Three times, and all three times it was an 18-wheeler that just flashed through the intersection, roared through the intersection after the light, after Faye's light was green. And three different 18-wheelers flying through there, not paying attention, not stopping. Three times. Now, there's another chilling part to this incident. It's what Brittany said after it was all over. She was so thankful that her mom was ahead of her at the intersection, because Brittany said she would certainly have gone as soon as that light changed. And she realized that she would have been killed had her mom not been in front of her. So why didn't Faye go? Any of those three times, why didn't she just go ahead and go? I mean, when the light turns green, we go, don't we? That's what we do. And sometimes we look and sometimes we don't. Sometimes our minds are occupied on other things. And so when the light turns green, we just go. How many of us have been driving along and we'd realize that we've at a spot on the road and we really don't know how we got there? We've been absent-minded, or we're thinking about something else and we weren't even paying attention to the road that we're driving on. Consciously, subconsciously, we're aware of it, but it's like, how did I get here? Why did Faye not go? And why was it that Brittany was behind her mom instead of ahead of her? These are questions that we can't answer from science or psychology. But there's only one reasonable answer. God. God was protecting them. Just like God has been protecting you all your life. All your life. So, like the person who loses a loved one and does not have faith in God, they grieve without any hope. In the same way, if we had not been blessed with God's protection, we would surely have perished long ago. God is the one who has taken care of us, who's protected us, who's preserved us, who's gotten us out of dangerous spots. There was a time back when I was driving, doing the work with India Missions. I was up in Tennessee, driving on a little two-lane road on my way to a church on a Sunday morning. Somebody called me on the phone. I looked down to pick up my phone, and when I did, somebody put a sharp curve in that road. And I barely stopped before plowing some corn. And it's like, what? I don't know how I stopped. Second, I don't know why somebody would put a curve right there. It was a perfectly fine road like it was. But we get distracted and things happen. And why wasn't it that, how was it that somebody wasn't walking across right in front of us at that moment? Or how was it that when we drift into the other lane, there was nobody there at that particular moment when normally there would be somebody there? We have escaped with our lives so many times, and the reason is always because of God. There are so many verses in the scriptures about God protecting us. I want to share a few with you this morning. In Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. If you've had a hardship and you've come out of it, that was God. In 1 Corinthians 10, 13, we have this promise from the Lord, a passage with which we're all familiar. There is no temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. God is the reason you're still here. He's the reason that you're alive. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. This is a promise that God made. Moses was writing this to the children of Israel, that God was going to be with them as they went in to conquer the land. God would take care of them and provide for them. Proverbs 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Brethren, do not misunderstand. Christians have troubles. Some people have the mistaken idea that when they become a Christian, they're going to live in a little fairy tale, basically. A fairyland castle. They'll have everything work out for them. All the details will be solved. All the problems will go away. Life will be rosy and sweet. Let me just tell you something. You become a Christian, it's hard. It's actually easier not to become a Christian. It's easier to live in this world if you're not a Christian. If you go along to get along, if you be like everybody else, if you conform to this world, then they're not going to pick on you. And your problems are going to be diminished because Satan's already got you. Why would he cause you trouble? So in many ways, it's actually easier not to be a Christian than it is to be a Christian. But if you're going to be a Christian, Paul said, you will suffer persecution. Jesus said there will be hardships and trials. Peter said you will go through the fire, the purifying fire, like gold and silver are purified. You will go through the fire too. It's going to be the case. It's going to be the case that you're going to face troubles. Listen to Psalm 59, verse 1 through 4. A depressing psalm. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity. Didn't Jesus tell us to pray, deliver us from evil? Didn't he tell us to pray that? Deliver us from evil? Well, deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men, for they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin. I did nothing to deserve this. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not being punished, and yet here I am suffering when I'm trying to do right. Oh Lord, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me, and behold, look at my situation, the psalmist is saying. I didn't do anything wrong, and I'm suffering. I'm enduring attack after attack. Yes, brethren, if you live as a Christian, you can and will be threatened and attacked. You will be harmed. You will be made to suffer. That's all part of it. But through it all, it's God who's there with you. It's God who will see you through. It's God who keeps things from getting worse. Do you remember an incident from your childhood? Can you look back to something and say, how did I survive? How did I make it? I don't see how in the world I got out with my life. Crossing the street without looking, car squeals to a halt. Happened to me in Haleyville, Alabama. Just running across the road. Didn't pay attention. I was just about 9, 10 years old. That car barely stopped. By the way, cars back then were made of metal. I remember riding down a hill one time. I was about 6. Had one of those little pedal cars. You remember those things? Little scat cars, a little pedal car. Well, there ain't no way I could pedal up that hill. So I picked it up and I carried it up the hill. That was not easy. Got top of that hill, gravel road. I got on there, had that steering wheel, little go-kart thing, a scat car. And I put my feet up on the sides because there was no way I could handle those pedals a-banging. Going down there that fast. And I was just bumping down the road and the steering wheel came off in my hand. And it was like a cartoon. It literally was like a cartoon. And I can't believe it. Now, back then, I didn't know what the word surreal meant. And maybe I still don't. But, buddy, that was surreal. And it was like, it was so funny, I started laughing. And I am in grave danger because I'm doing 615 miles an hour going down this hill, bouncing in this gravel on this narrow little thing, and it got sideways, and I started rolling. And when I came up, I had more gravel in my skin than there was left on the road. It was nasty. How did we survive? So many things. A friend of mine died as a teenager, senior in high school. I was in 8th grade, and Eddie Frederick, I'll never forget that boy. He was a good football player at Hackleburg. Good kid. My brother David and I had done the same thing Eddie was doing. We had been down in a well, digging in a well. We had the tiles that had dropped, but we'd hit a clay pocket, and the tiles were about 15 feet above us. And we're digging, trying to get those things to drop. We're down in that well. We were probably 35 feet down, digging. One at a time, of course. But it happened that Eddie was digging in a well, and the side caved in on him, and they couldn't get him out in time. How did I survive? And how did he not? The fact of the matter is, brethren, we don't know how long we've got. We don't know when our time will come. How have we survived to this point? Though I walk through the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. It is God who spares us from our enemies. In John 10, 28, that's Psalm 138, verse 7. In John 10, 28 through 30, Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. It is because of God that you survived childhood. It is because of God that you've survived those close calls on the highway, or that close call with your health, or that close call at work. It is because of God that you are still here today. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 and 9, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now that's the Apostle Paul talking about what he and the other apostles and other early Christians had been enduring because of Christ. But here's the thing. They were still alive because of God, because of his protection. The Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Our God is stronger and bigger and more powerful than anything we will ever encounter. I read a little thing, and I hope I can say it right. I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. But the little sign said, don't tell God about your problems. Tell your problems about your God. Think about that. Our God is bigger than any problem we may face, any obstacle we may encounter. Our God is strong enough to take care of us, to provide for us and protect us as long as he chooses to do so. And he can take us through the fire and bring us out safely on the other side, closer to him, more like his son, refined, purified, sanctified. God is able and God is faithful. Isaiah 43, verse 3 and 4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob. Yes, a promise to the children of Israel. But listen carefully to the words of this promise. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age. I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Do you hear the words of this beautiful promise? God has made us, and he will bear us. He will carry us. He will deliver us. It is God who's been with us from our birth. It is God who brought us into this world, and it is God who will take us out of here and keep us safe in between. Yes, we'll go through hardships. We may lose an arm. We may lose our health. We may lose every possession. And ultimately, we will lose our life. But God is the one who's helping us and causing us to survive. And if you're here today, it's because of God. And you need to keep that in mind. Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8. Oh Lord, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let me wrap this up. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can stand before God? We will live and we will endure in this life and we will die. But while we live, why we live is all because of God. We live on the knife's edge, and folks, that's how fragile life is. Were it not for God's mercy and God's grace and God's protection, an 18-wheeler would surely end our life at an intersection. And one day it might. But until that day, it is God who sustains us. It is God who protects us. It is God who delivers us. Why are we still alive? How did we survive? God. Do you know when your time will come? Are you ready for your time to come? It's coming. Are you ready? Consider your life, consider your soul. Consider your relationship with God. And if there's anything standing between you and being able to go to heaven today, you need to do something about it. If you're not a Christian, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Become a child of God. Let the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. And God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And heaven will be your home if you will live faithful to Him. And if you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful, you can come back. And we want to encourage you to do that. Repent, confess to God your sin, pray to God for forgiveness, and He will forgive and restore those that are His children. Whatever your situation this morning, if there's a way we can help you, we invite and encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.